All right. I want to greet each one in Christ's name again. I'm not sure about this. Anyways, Ralph said that, I didn't have time to study my Sunday school lesson, but that doesn't mean this is going to be extra long, just so y'all know. We'll see what happens. I would class this as a topic and not a message, but you can take it how you wish, I guess. But the topic that I've kind of chose to speak a little bit on is things happen for a reason. Or the question can be, does things happen for a reason? Do things happen for a reason? There's been a series of events in my life with everything that's been going on and different things, I've asked God why many times, I guess, and or why me, or, why is this happening? I thought I'd talk about a couple characters in the Bible, just a couple. I know there's more. But the first one we'll touch on a little bit is Joseph in Genesis 37. The account there, it's a very familiar story with everybody, or it should be. Speaks there, of Joseph, the encounter with his brothers being sold. Maybe we'll just start into verse 28 in chapter 37 there. Previously in the chapter there, it talked about the dreams that Joseph had and the hatred that his brothers were developing over this. And then in verse 18 there, it goes on through 27. It talks about how the brothers seen him coming, and they started, figuring out what they were going to do. But jumping in there to just jump into verse 28 there, and it says, then there passed by Midianites, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. Remember there, Reuben previously was not in agreement with selling him at the moment, but the other brothers acted without him. And he returned and his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood, and they sent the coat in many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it's my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the verse 36, and the Midianites that had bought him sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. And in this account, this was a very bad thing that happened to Jacob. And I'm sure Jacob, was wondering why. I just assume he was, I guess, wondering why. Or why did it have to be Jacob? Why couldn't it have been one of the other sons? But God had a plan, just like in today's day. When stuff happens And it can be good things or bad things. God has a, but I guess the bad things may stand out to us sometimes more than the, or make us think about it maybe more than what some of the good things do maybe. But God has a plan. And, you know, he talks about how different things Joseph went through. And then if we go over to Genesis 50. To read a couple of verses there, starting in verse 19 in Genesis 50. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God bent it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You know, in this happening, God had a plan. I've thought already of this account and had to wonder what would have happened if Joseph wouldn't have went, you know, on there and to Egypt. You know, if he wouldn't have went through all that, would, you know, but that's, I guess that shouldn't even be a question because God had a plan to use Joseph, even though it broke his father's heart. He used Joseph to turn around and to do it for good. And in return, you know, Joseph's father suffered, but in return, a lot of people got to get a second chance at life, per se, than if, you know, Joseph would have, if this wouldn't have happened. And then another account found in John 9. I'm jumping around there a little bit, but John 9, it talks about the it talks about the blind man. They're the one that was born blind. I think we'll just read that chapter there. So John 9, starting in verse 1, says, And Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that when he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, and he said unto him, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And he went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Therefore is he. Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that after time was aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put on out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he do? Did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore should ye hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they revealed him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto them, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. He worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we also blind? Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. We go back there to the first part of the chapter. You know, they asked the question there in verse 2, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, or that he was born blind? You know, they were... You know, why was he born this way? And then in verse 3, you know, it says that neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. You know, this man was unlike, you know, Joseph, you know, he was sold. This man was born this way. He had never seen before. But God used him. You know, maybe when he was born, maybe his parents, you know, asked why. Or maybe his parents were wondering why God allowed this to them. You know, why couldn't it have been our neighbor over here or, you know, this other person? But he used this blind man to, for the works of God to be manifest in him. So he used this to, and through this situation, you know, there may have been a lot of others that seen the work of God and become Christians. And we have been asked, think of Cody, we have been asked the question, you know, or we've had a couple people say something about the generational curse. And I'm not here to argue that fact, but I feel that, you know, God has a plan and it's for a reason. I don't feel that, you know, Cody has the AGS that he does because of a generational curse. And I will be open to discuss that with anybody if you want to. But we have had some people tell us that. And I guess I don't feel that's the way it is. I feel that God has a plan. If it's, you know, I don't know what it is. We don't know. But I feel that God has a plan. I guess my prayer on that is if God has a plan, that one of the things he could do is that somehow maybe another child that has the AGS, maybe some research they do on Cody or something could help, you know, another one. So I don't know, you know, what God has in store there, but I do think there's a reason. Just like this blind man, he was born, but there was a reason. You know, God was going to do his works. And, you know, my dad's situation, you know, I don't know why. You know, I had to think, you know, why did it have to be our family? But at the same time, there's been things that have happened since that has brought myself closer to God. But I think it's brought other people to God. And, you know, if it's, I guess I feel too, is if my family can go through this, maybe that would save at least one other family from having to go through it. You know, that would be my prayer, I guess. And I've seen God work, you know, through that situation. You think of back to the school scale, our craft sale last week, you know, them $4,500 whoopie pies. I seen God work in that crowd like I have never seen an auction before. You know, and everything that happened, I think somebody said something to me Sunday then here at church that our church needed that. I didn't think about, you know, about it at the time, but, you know, it seemed like everybody was in maybe bigger or better spirits or something after that. Like, it just, there was an energy. God worked. So just like that, you know, and how, you know, if my dad would have still, you know, if he wouldn't have left mom the way he did, you know, I don't know, would those, you know, would mom have been the chosen one for the whoopie pies? You know, I don't know, would have been somebody else? I don't know. But the way God worked in that situation, and the way I've seen people's expressions on the faces and, you know, the church, the energy, you know, that was for a reason, you know. And I think that's just, you know, everything is still adding up. But we do need to stay open-minded that things happen for a reason. And we need to make sure that these situations bring us closer to God, that we don't stray away further or, yeah. Okay, read a verse here in Romans 8:28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." You know, no matter what situation we go through, no matter how hurtful or how bad it is, if we love God, something good will come out of that. Maybe it's not, maybe it won't be what we envision that it should be, but something good will come out of that. Okay, got one more verse here I'm going to read in closing here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So I guess the challenge I would like to leave with everybody is, no matter what the situation is, and there's good situations that happen for a reason, just like the whoopie pie incident. That was a very good situation, a very good thing that our church needed. It needed that boost. It needed that energy rise. So I guess I would, you know, let's be open-minded. When things happen, instead of always looking at the bad of the things, let's try to look at the outcome maybe, and let's try to see the good in it, no matter what the situation may be. And let's remember to always give thanks in every situation. I know it can be hard sometimes to give thanks, you know, if something doesn't go our way or something like that, or there's a situation that happens that's not, I'll just be honest, you know, with Dad's situation, for instance, it was hard for me to give thanks to God for, you know, for the situation. And, you know, I still, with Cody's situation, I sometimes still struggle, you know, with, especially if you see other children, you know, running around and doing everything that a little three-year-old should, you know, it's hard to give, sometimes it can be hard to give thanks. But let's remember to stay strong, give thanks, and remember that things happen for a reason, whether good or bad. God has a plan. Let's try to look at that. Let's look forward and see what good we can bring out of a bad, or that could come out of a bad situation. If that makes sense, there. So I think that's all I have. We'll give time back over to Brother Elmer.